Okay, Chevra. So we are learning the sugya of Pas Akum, and last time we learned, we focused on the reasons why we are more lenient, why we're more make on Pas Akum than we are on Bishul Akum, right? The most noticeable kula that we have is that everyone, by Pas Akum, is makeol the Hashlachas Kisim helps. Everybody holds that to make something pass Yisrael, all the Jew has to do is throw a twig into the fire that solves the whole problem. By Bishul Akum, Sfaradim are machmir on this, but Ashkenazim are mekel. Now, I should just clarify, when I say everyone is mekel, that pass Akum, Hashlachas Kisim helps, that means everyone in the Shulchan Aruch. However, there's an opinion here in the Ramban, in the Chidushei HaRamban on Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, where the Ramban tells us that he thinks even by Pas Akum you have to be machmir, the Hashlachas Kisim does not help. But this is an opinion which is sort of a collector's item, no? It's not like mainstream normative Judaism. Normative Judaism is that Hashlachas Kisim helps by Pas Akum. Great. Last time we learned, we also focused on a few possibilities in understanding the reason why we're mekon pas akum, and if I believe, we had three possibilities. One possibility was that pas akum is more kal just because of like the technical issue that you need bread to eat. Al halechem yichya ha'adam. Another reason why we were more mekon on the pas was because maybe the isser of pas never spread. And the third possibility that we had, the razzle-dazzle possibility, the lumdisha possibility, was that maybe we're more mekel on Pas Akum because Pas Akum is fundamentally an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Cheftza. Unlike Bishul Akum, which is an Isser Cheftza, Pas Akum is an Isser Gavra. Because it's an Isser Gavra, that means just that I'm not allowed to do it, but the food itself is not poisonous, the food itself is not treif. Now, to just develop the idea of Isser Gavra a teeny bit, I saw some of you were learning a Me'iri tonight, so we'll talk about that for a minute, because I think the Me'iri actually hints at this idea of Isser Gavra, and the Me'iri does this in light of a sugya here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, no? Turn to Lamed Aleph Amid Beis for a minute. The Gemara on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis has a sugya of Sheikhar Akum, no? We have Pas Akum, Bishul Akum, Wine of Goyim. We'll talk about butter of Goyim. We'll talk about oil of Goyim. What about the beer of Goyim? No? Now, if you'd ask me, I would say if there's an Isser of Chasnus, so the most logical thing that we should answer because of Chasnus is beer. No? I don't know how many of you have ever been to bars. I'm not going to ask. We're not going to go into it. But let's be honest. Bar culture, right, is a culture where people are kind of looking to find somebody, no? That's like what happens. You seem to be disagreeing about with this, Michal. I don't know. Sorry. But the fact is, I think it's very reasonable that the Isser of Sheikhar Akum just makes sense. It just makes sense. Look at the Gemara over here. Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the top. Itmar. Right? Mipnei mal asru sheikhar sha'akum. Rami bar chama amar Reb Yitzchak mishum chasnus. Right? The isser of sheikhar akum is because of chasnus. Because it will lead to intermarriage. Rav Nachman amar mishum giloi. Rav Nachman says that the concern is giloy. Giloy is the concern that if a beverage is left exposed, maybe some snake with poison, this venom, will come around and will inflict this venom into your beer or something. So you might want to say, giloy demai, ilam, gintanaz, yosa, etc. Right? If it's the giloy of the barrels, we also leave our barrel, Nas Yossa, excuse me, is like where they make the wine. It's in the barrel of manufacture. So everyone leaves that uncovered, apparently. Rather, it's the Gilui of the Chavis, etc. Then the Gemara tells us that Rav Papa, just skip three lines, Rav Papa, Mafikin Le La Bava de Chanusa Vishasi. Rav Achoy, Maisu Le La Beise Vishasi. Rav Papa would take the beer of Goyim, and he'd bring it to the door of the bar, the door of the store, and he'd drink it there. In other words, Rav Papa is saying that the Isser of Shechar Akum is that I can't drink beer in the bar itself. He would take the beer and go to the door of the bar, make a shahakol, and drink the beer. Rav Achoy would bring the beer to his house. He'd buy the beer in the bar and bring it to his house and then drink. They both feel that the Isser is al tzchasnus, Rav Achai Ovid Harchoki Yiserta. Rav Achai makes an additional precaution. No? Rav Achai goes farther. He goes to his own house, not just to the door. Now, what's interesting over here is the Gemara says that the Isser is al tzchasnus. And the Gemara says that because the Isser is outchasnus, therefore we only aser it in the bar, no? We don't aser it once you take it to the door of the bar, and certainly once you go to your own home, it's not aser. Would we say that by Pasakum? Would Pasakum be aser, right, when it is not in the guy's house? What? Speak louder. I'm just deaf. So the Me'iri says that that's exactly what the Gemara means. No? When our Gemara speaks about, we forgot what his name is, Aibu, Ebu, Ibu, whatever his name is, right? But when he ate the bread by the border, Zuck the Me'iri, what he's really doing is he is connecting our Gemara to the Gemara in Laman Aleph about Shechar Akum. But it's wrong. No? So why is it wrong? What was the Hava Amina to connect it to Shechar Akum? And the Me'iri, by the way, is suggesting this possibility, and he's blaming it on some Rishon. There's like some, the Me'iri is like a digest of Rishonim, no? So there's some unnamed Rishon that the Me'iri is quoting who makes this comparison. L'cha'ora, the comparison is that they're both out chasnos. And the comparison also probably is that in both cases, it's an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chefza. You see, if it would be an Isser Chefza, so the item is poisonous, and it doesn't matter whether I'm in the bar or whether I'm outside of the bar. The item is treif, no? But if it's an Isser Gavra, so as an Isser Gavra, Hasvara no senes, that it's only usher because I'm interacting with the guy in the guy's place, and as soon as I'm out of that exact thing, I could say, oh, the Isser doesn't apply anymore. Right? It's a much easier idea to say, oh, once it's outside the bar, it's mutter, if it's Isser Gavra. If it's an Isser Chefza, that idea is impossible. Correct? So the Me'iri is learning our Gemara like our Gemara, where he's quoting Phantom Rishon, who's learning our Gemara, that our Gemara is presenting the possibility that it is an Isser Gavra, but the Gemara is rejecting it. I think that's pshat in the Me'iri. So far, so good, ladies?
The Gemara rejects it as Mr. Gavra.
But, I mean, the Gemara says that Mr. Ibu was wrong, right? According to the Lumdus over here, right, what Ibu was assuming is that it's an Isser Gavra, and he's wrong, meaning it's not an Isser Gavra. Now, did we mention the Razzle Dazzle pshat? In this last Gemara, the pshat in the Mishnah in Trumas, did we do this? Okay, this is just cute, so I'll say it anyway. It goes like this. In the Rav of Suvalk that you know of is Rav David Lifshitz. He used to be a Rosh Yeshiva by Yassin Yeshiva. He lived in the apartment right underneath my apartment. The Rav in Suvalk, like four generations before Rav David Lifshitz, according to Lev Racha, wrote the Trumas Amudei Or, Rav Yechiel Heller. So in the Tshuvas Amudei Or, the Suvalka Rav says that maybe the pshat in our Gemara is as follows. What's Ibu doing? He's eating the bread by the border. Like, and then we tell him, no, Ibu, you're wrong. You're not allowed to do that. Like, what's he thinking? And the Gemara also doesn't just say that he's eating it. The Gemara has an interesting lashon and says he bites it. What's the pshat? So the Reb Dov, so the Suvalka Rav, the Chubas Amudei Or, suggests that, you know, there's a Mishnah in Trumas that discusses the famous case. You know, an Eishes Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, correct? Let's say she's eating Truma, and then she finds out that her husband died, or divorced her. In the middle of eating Truma, are you allowed to swallow it? So that's a machlokas hatanoyim. Machlokas Rabbi Yezer Rabbi Yeshua. Perek Ches of Trumas Mishnah Beis and Gimel. No, it's a machlokas whether you're allowed to swallow the truma. So it says that Mudei Or, maybe that's what's going on with Ibu. What Ibu is doing is he's trying to play games, and Ibu is saying, "I'm just going to bite the truma outside, right?" And it's mutter because of the svara that the iser doesn't extend when you're outside in the field. And then I'll go inside. So maybe the only reason why Chazal are putting Ibu into some sort of chirem according to the Rabbeinu Chanan now, or saying that you can't say halach is over in the name of Ibu, is because he's mezalzo on the Isser Drabbanon. Mezalzo doesn't mean he doesn't hold to the Isser. It means he is looking to finagle. That, by the way, is another English word that sounds Yiddish. Right? He's looking to finagle his way out of the Isser. No? Oh, I'm going to, I'm going to like, no? Like the Gemara Baba Basra has a whole sugya about how they kicked Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the Beis Medrash. Because it's a shayla about birds. How far from the nest do we assume that the bird is attributed to the nest, and that we know that you can't take that bird, it belongs to the biome of the nest. So the Gemara gives us like a shear, like 50 amos. So Rabbi Yirmiyah comes and he asks Akasha, what about if one leg is inside 50 amos and the other leg is outside of 50 amos? So Zakli Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah, you are now kicked out of yeshiva for that. Because that's playing shtick, no? Like, that's not like a lumdisha question. The Gemara, I don't know why the Gemara had such a problem with it, but you also see that the Gemara feels that you kick someone out of yeshiva for, like, trying to play these games, and presumably Ibu is playing a game. Hello, Mindy.
Just to clarify, he's playing a game because he's biting it, but that's what the Gemara says he's eating, biting and eating.
I thought the Gemara says he's mankis v'ochel pasa bei mitzri. He's on the border, and he takes a bite, and then he eats it. So the Amudei Or understands what he did is he takes a bite right outside of the border, and then he finishes eating it once he goes inside, no? So that's a game. That's shtick. So that's why that would mean, by the way, very much different than the Ritva writes on this Gemara, right? The Ritva writes basically that we can't say over halachas from someone who doesn't maintain that area of halacha. According to the Amudei Or, that's not the halacha. The halacha just is if someone is a shtickmacher. That's a good Yiddish word, by the way. Think about it for the final. Someone's a shtickmacher, like playing games. Oh, so then we don't say halacha is off from you. Hello, Adina.
Okay, so the Rishon in the Megillah,
the Phantom Rishon. Phantom
Rishon, yeah. He says that Todd is in the like the Gemara is basically quoting Ego to the Todd's Mr. Pata.
Mm-hmm.
So then, how does that fit? I guess with the concept that at the end of the day there are cases where we say that Pot is mature, especially even
So now let's just go on in the Mi'iri for a second. I think the Mi'iri quotes Yesh Matirin. That's like what I call Phantom Rishon. There are some who understood that's an Isser Gavra. And based on this, when they would go to an inn, they would eat Pas Akum, no? Because they said, since I'm renting the space in the inn, so therefore the inn becomes mine, and there's no issa to eat pas akum in my own house, no? So first of all, the Mi'iri says, that's just wrong. It's wrong because the issa to eat pas akum is even in your own house. And he proves that from the Gemara and Samachay, the same way that Taisus proved. Right? In other words, this idea that Pas Akum would be mutter to eat in your own house, that idea is based on the fact that Pas Akum is fundamentally an Isser Gavra, and that is the Shita that the Mi'iri feels is totally rejected.
Can't you say, though, that it's still Isser to eat it in your own house, and it's still an Isser Gavra? do you have to say that it's Mr. Sunset? Because I just,
you don't.
It so much
okay, so I don't think it's compelling. I don't think you have to, but it's simpler to assume. Right? If that actual bread became treif, it's much easier to understand why I can't eat it in my own house. But if the tarifus is the interaction between the Jew and the guy, so then one could say that it's permitted to eat it in your own house. Let's develop this idea a teeny bit further, and then we'll come back to the Tosis towards the end. The Ran. I think we assigned this Ran. On 14b, on Yudalam Beis Bedafei Harif, right before Ibu. So the Ran, first of all, quotes from the Rashba, who quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah. By the way, the Rabbeinu Yonah that they're quoting is our Rabbeinu Yonah, the author of Sharei Tshuva, no? Like the famous one. That Rabbeinu Yonah basically develops an idea that if you hold Pas Palter is a mutter, let me say it like this. If you hold Pas Palter is only mutter when there's no Jewish baker, that does not mean that there is no Jewish baker. But it means there's no Jewish baker who makes a baked good that is this good. Right? And this is my famous example that I give, that everybody knows the best cookie on the planet is what? The best cookie. The Stella Doro Strimal cookies.
Yes.
Aren't they the best cookies?
They are. I was going to guess that, but I wouldn't say they're the best cookies. They just are an iconic.
Okay, so let's say it like this. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Simen Reish Mem Beis that on Shabbos, you are not supposed to eat Pas Akum, correct? On Shabbos, we don't eat Goyisha bread, even Goyisha bakery bread. We shouldn't eat on Shabbos. You should only have Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. Also, during Aseres, you make tshuva. That you shouldn't eat Pas Palter, only Pas Yisrael. Right, people, my wife always talks about how she teaches in SAR. So, like, some student walked over to her one time and, like, pointed to something and asked, is this pat? And my wife was like, what? if you say pas in Sfaradit, it's pat, right? But, like, whatever, sometimes... The assumption is that students wouldn't be that... open about their habits. Maybe. I don't know. We hope. But the Ran quotes from the Rashba, quoting from Rabbeinu Yonah, that if there is no Palter Yisrael who makes a product as good as the product made by the Palter Nachri, then it still is permitted. And therefore it would seem... Right, in my shul at Shalosh Shudis, we serve the Strimal cookies, and I think the reason is because there is a Jewish like thing that looks like the Strimal cookies. It's mamish lo harezeh kaharezeh, no comparison. Right, the Stella Doro Strimal cookies are by far superior. Right, if anyone disagrees with this, you fail. It's like, but it's pretty obvious, correct? Do you want to disagree? It's smart not to disagree on this point. What?
The chocolate.
It looks like a strimal. It's like the Stella Doro cookies look like the chocolate in the middle. What do you call them?
Swiss
fudge.
Swiss.
They're obviously called chocolate. They're
chocolate.
The package says strimal.
What?
They stopped making them.
They stopped making them. There was a whole scandal with the Stella Doro company. They weren't paying their workers. We don't like to talk about those things. But the reality is, strimal cookies are awesome. And l'cha'ora, strimal cookies are mutter to eat on Shabbos because there is no Pas Yisrael equivalent that is as good. That's what emerges from this Rashba b'shem Rabbeinu Yonah. Then the Ran goes on and he discusses a question. Let's say you have a Goyisha baker, right? Let's say you're an Ashkenazi and you hold Pas Palter is permitted. And a Goyisha baker bakes bread. And then the Goyisha baker sells the bread to some guy, an individual guy. And then you are invited over to this individual guy's house. Is it mutter to eat it? What would you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
Because like almost like in the lechem,
what?
Like
So that's an interesting application of lifnei to lifnei, but this is not a din of lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is I shouldn't make you do an avera. Over here, I'm not talking about anyone else.
Yeah, no,
the shaila is I'm talking about me. So you're arguing it's still past palter, right? On the other hand, one could make a strong argument that maybe it should be usher mishum chasnus. No, I'm eating. Slobodan invites me over for a meal, and Slobodan is just a name that no Jew has, right? Like. I think I used to use the name Jesus. If you want, we could go back to Jesus. I'm looking for a non-Jewish name, right? So, huh? Slobodan's a real name. Slobodan Milosevic. He was like really bad. Google him. You should, huh? He was the strong man in Serbia. He like killed a million people or something. He was like really bad. The guy in my shiur used to always call him Slobodan, because his name was Dan, and like Dan sounds very much like Slobodan. So finally he figured out who Slobodan was, and he wasn't so happy that I was calling him Slobodan. But that's a different story. The Rashba is quoted that it remains past palter. In other words, that we follow the Zman of Asiyas HaPas. If you look in the Torah's Habayis of the Rashba, the Ra'ah disagrees with the Rashba in this Nakuda. And the Ra'ah says, if you have pas, palter, that is handed to a Bal Habayis, it takes on the dinim of pas Bal Habayis. And the Ra'ah says, because the Isser is Misham Chasnos, so why else, right, how can it be permitted? You might come to intermarry because you're eating the bread. That's what the Ra'ah says. The Rashba is disagreeing. Now, conceptually, how can we interpret this machlokes?
I think it's like whether we care about the beginning of the bread or the beginning what? Meaning like.
Nachon. But conceptually, more.
Like, I have a question afterwards.
What?
I have a question about Chefta Gavra.
Chefta Gavra. Plug it in.
If it's an issue of Gavra, then once Baal Ha'is has it, that's it. You're done.
But if it's a din and Chefta, it became. Poisonous. Again, I mean, in the reverse case, right, if a Baal HaBayis bakes and then gives it to a palter, right? If it's a din on the chepta, so you'd understand, in that case, it should be usher. If it's a din on the gavra, in that case, it should be mutter. And the reverse also. We could say, and in Rabbi Simon's article, he quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak Suna, who used to be a Rebbe in MTA, that Rabbi Suna told Rabbi Simon that maybe the machlokas over here is toloi in gavra chepta. Now, if that's the case in Shulchan Aruch, let me just finish this Nakuda and then I'll take a few questions. In Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Yud Beis Seif Zayin, it says, Pas Baal HaBayis is Asura La'olam, Afilu Kena'a Palter Imenu, Vafilu Shochal Yisrael La'Beiso. Even in the Jew's home, it's going to be Asur. Why? Because presumably we're saying that's a din on the chefta, it's not a din on the gavra. In other words, this opinion that the Me'iri rejects, the opinion that we suggested as a possibility with Entisus, that's a din on the gavra, that seems to be a machlokes Rashba and Ra'ah, and Shulchan Aruch paskin straight, like the Rashba that we follow this man of Asiyas HaPas. Based on this, the Shach has a question on Seif Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. Seif Gimel says, Yesh Misha Omer, if a palter invites a Jew to his house, what's the din? No? You live in a town, and there's a baker, probably some nice Italian fellow, right? He's baking the bread, and the baker invites you over for a meal in his house. Are you allowed to eat in the baker's house? It's past palter. Yeah, where do you think the baker gets bread from? He gets it from his bakery. So Shulchan Aruch quotes, Yesh Misha Omer, that has a din of Pas Baal HaBayis. Frek the Shach asks a kashin, Sif Katin Yud Beis, 1 second, if we paskin in Sif Zayin, like the Rashba that we follow, the Zman of Asiyas HaPas, not the way the bread is served, that means in Sif Gimel we should paskin that the bread is mutter. So says the Shach, I don't understand this din. Maybe Hizman maybe Hisman Palter Labeso, maybe when the baker invites me to come over to his house, that case is somehow worse. That's what the Shach suggests. But Hayotim and Hadvarim is that they're all discussing this question of Gavra and Chefza. Now, I think Tehillah had the first question, then Rachel, and then we'll tell some jokes. Yeah.
I guess, like, when it came to Fossil, the way I just interpreted it was that, like, I guess I'm going to have, like, conceptual problems understanding why Chefza could come into play, because it almost sounds like, it sounds like the whole point of, like, bread itself is not going to bring you close to somebody. It's that fact that, right, that someone's going out of their way to do something for you. Like, kind of like, as opposed to maybe wine, right, where, like, the act of bringing it together might
lead to intermarriage, right? It's
right,
because they went out of their way.
Right, like, bread is, like, again, it's like the staple of life. So, it's like, if someone bakes you a nice bread, fine, I understand why possible allies might be a problem. But in terms of, like, conceptually why chutzah would be a problem as opposed to gavra when it comes to bread, it just doesn't seem to...
No, so I think the idea is that once we have... There's sort of like the sibas hatakona and the geder hadetna. The reason why Chazal instituted the din of pas akum is because of chasnas. But once they instituted din of pas akum, they gave it all the rules and regulations of regular macholos asuros, which is ordinarily an iser chefza. Right? Most macholos asuros. Right? How come I can't eat bugs? How come I can't eat chazer? How come I can't... It's iser chefza, presumably, no? So the reason why Chazal instituted the din is because of chasnos. But once the din was instituted, Chazal need a drawer to put it into. And the only drawer that I have in Macholos Asuros is called Iser Chefza. So that's why Chazal says also. I think that's the Hesber. Right? You're right. And the Ra'ah has a certain logic to him. When the Ra'ah says, if the din is out chasnos, so then if you have... pass palter, and then you invite the guy in, right? It should be usher, right? That's the ra'ah. There's a certain logic to it. But nonetheless, we say it's mutter in that case. That's what the Shach asks. I think Rachel had a question, then we'll hear from Adina.
Never mind. Wait, how does the Shach fix his kosher? What's the answer?
Okay, so what the Shach... If you read the Shach carefully, look, just a few words about the Shach. Besides that, the Shach is the coolest person ever, 1621 to 1662, remember that. The Shach never really accepted the Shulchan Aruch. But the Shach lived at a time that everybody is accepting the Shulchan Aruch already. So the Shach writes a book on the Shulchan Aruch, and he's trying to show that Shulchan Aruch is wrong in cases X, Y, and Z. Right? Another way of saying I don't agree with this book is I argue with it all the time. That's sort of what the Shach is doing. So the Shach seems to be heading in a direction that he feels Shulchan Aruch is wrong. And he feels the halacha should be that if a palter invites you into his house, it's mutter. Nonetheless, at the end of the essay, at the end of Sifkat Yud Beis, the Shach defends the Shulchan Aruch and says maybe what the Mechaber means is that it's worse when you get invited in. And that would be as far as similar to like what Tehillah was saying a few minutes ago, which is that the whole din is because you're going out of your way to do something for me. If I invite you over, that shows that I really want to establish some connection with you, some kirov, and that's why it's also. There's a certain logic to it, and that's the point the Shach is making. Right? So he's saying it more al pisvara, but I get the impression from reading the Shach that he doesn't really hold of it. That he's just saying it as a potential defense of the Beis Yosef, but really he doesn't completely hold of that point.
Could he make the claim that the palter, when he's making the bread, like, even though in general we say that bakery bread is mutter, that at a certain point he does have this das to say that this bread, I don't remember who said it, but I think someone mentioned that he has das that this bread is for himself. And so it just takes on
the... So that's an interesting question. If you look in Perek Aleph and Maseches Challah Mishneh Hey, the Mishnah over there discusses the din of Isa Ha'amoed Es Lecholik, no? Like a baker basically is baking a huge amount of bread, but he intends to give it out to lots of people. So does it have a Shear of Challah or not? Right? The Shear of Challah, by the way, is?
124.
124 what? I'm not sure. I mean, it's how many eggs is the Shir Challah? It's easy to remember. The gematria of Challah is 43, right? Mem Gimel Beitzim. Mem Gimel
Beitzim.
Mem Gimel Beitzim B'chumash Beitza is the Shir of Challah. It happens that there's a machlokes between the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Noeh about how large the Shi'urim are. It happens, in my opinion, all the cookbooks, besides the Lubavitcher cookbook, are wrong. Because all the cookbooks say that you don't take off Challah with the bracha until you have 5 pounds of flour. And in the spice and spirit of Jewish cooking, which is the Lubavitch cookbook, they say that you take off Challah with the bracha when you have around 3.5 pounds of flour. And that's probably correct, because we don't paskim at the Chazon Ish Shir for anything. I sit at the Pesach Seder, and we don't assume that our eggs are all smaller than they used to be. We really don't paskim that way. The standard Mahalach of poskim is that we don't paskin that way. Certainly, under Rabbanans, you don't paskin like the Chazon Ish. So the Pashtus is the Shir of Challah. It's really 43 in the fifth Beitzim. The Shir of Challah should be 3.5 pounds of flour. Okay, fine. Now, the Mishnah over there is discussing a case. Let's say a Nachtom, a baker, is baking bread in order to give it out to many people. So the Mishnah discusses the possibility that the baker is going to be keeping the bread for himself or herself, because the baker might not have people who come into the bakery to buy the bread. So maybe there's a chiyuv challah outs that, no? There's no chiyuv challah by Isama the Solichalik. I mean, so basically I'm just raising the issue that the point that you're making, that maybe the palter has in mind that some of the bread is going to be for him, is an issue that's discussed in the Mishnah over there in Challah that certainly has to be factored into this conversation, but I think it will complicate matters a little bit too much. Fine, let's go weiter. One other point that might be toloi on Gavra versus Chefza is the Ran on Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Ran back in the Mishnah raised the question, how come that we need two separate Yisurim of Pas Akum and Bishul Akum, when L'cha'ora, Pas and Bishul is the same thing, right? We discussed this. So one approach that the Ran gives to answer this Kasha is the Ran says that maybe the din of Pas Akum is even if a Jew bakes it. It could still be Pas Akum. Let's say a guy needs the dough, and then the Jew takes it, and it a guy needs dough, it belongs to the guy, and then the Jew takes it and puts it in the oven. Zot the Ran, in that case, we could say it still might be Aser. Now, right? You saw that in the Ran?
Didn't the Rambam say that it's
the Rambam said it's Mutter. The Beis Yosef quotes that the Rambam says it's Mutter. Machlokes is between the Ran and the Rambam. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva paskins that it's going to be Mutter. The OU is basically make on this Shaila. Like Rav Moshe, even the Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch is like the Ran, but the OU is make on the Shaila. Like there's a nice Tshuva Nigris Moshe that goes through that. But the point is, the Ran is Machmir. Now, the only reason to be Machmir in this is that you have to assume that it became Usser already. No, but how did it become Usser yet? Is it an Isser Chefza? It's not an Isser Chefza, because the Chefza of bread no longer exists, or it does not yet exist. Right, the chafza of bread involves baking. If I have dough, that is not bread. Haraya, right? What bracha did I make on bread? Hamotzi or mezonos? Right? Mezonos is also a bracha on bread min ha-tayra. Right? You're chayiv to take challah. The din of challah is b'achol chami lechem ha-aretz. The din of lechem applies to stuff that we make a bread in mezonos on also, no? As long as it's not exceedingly sweet. You make a hamotzi if you eat enough of it. Right, that's why if I'm koveya su'udah and pasav of a kisnin and make a hamotzi, there's a chi of challah on it. It's lechem min ha-tayra. But dough is not lechem at all. If I eat dough, what bracha do I make?
Shahako.
Shahako, correct? This is like a good thing to get someone on the brachos be, which, as we know, used to exist all the way across the country, as Zev Elof pointed out last week, but it's not like so common anymore. So dough is not yet bread. How come it's usher if the guy made the dough? It can't be an iser chefza at that point. The only way it can be usher is a svara of iser gavra. No? A svara Isser Gavra in the sense, because the guy went out of his way so much to make bread for me, that shows that the guy cares about me, and that's exactly what we're worried about. We're worried about the Kiruv Hadas that could emerge in that situation. L'chaora, you can't speak about an Isser Chetza that sets in when something is dough. That's the Ha'ara, my friend Eliav Silverman, he's like the Sholom Meshiv in Gross in Israel, right? So that's
Adi Bitter's husband,
correct. Yes. Yeah, okay, right. Adi Bitter, actually, is very important in the history of Mechitzos uptown because she's the woman who petitioned Rabbi Charlap, who was then the dean, to have Mechitzos at all the Minyanim in YU, because she was the woman who went to Davin. She's the woman who went to Davin.
And then she went to Columbia.
What?
And then she went to Columbia.
Then, yeah, but she Davined with the Minyan.
I'm saying.
Right, I understand.
Well,
but her husband was in the Kol HaElyon.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, yeah, she teaches in, like, some of the seminaries now, right? I haven't seen her in a while, but yeah, okay, good. So Rabbi Eliav Silverman just came out with a new volume of his Sefer, Meshiv Nefesh, it's called. So in that volume, he has an essay about Pas Akum, so he makes the point that he doesn't think it's shayach to discuss Isser Chetza when it still is dull. I think that point is actually a legitimate point. I think it's worth thinking about. Let's just try to make a little more progress. We mentioned very quickly at the end of the last year that there's another way to read the Tosfos. You see, Tosfos seems to say that there is no din of Tam Ke'ikar on the Pas Akum, and we explained that in light of the fact that maybe Tosfos holds it's an Isser Gavra. Based on what we've said today, that position is really very difficult because the position of Isser Gavra is really, really not normative, no? So what's going on? How can we learn the Tosfos? So last time you suggested that maybe what Tosfos is saying, and if you read the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, and say, if Tes Zayin, where the din comes up, the Achronim are saying, Tes of Tesvav, where the din comes up, the Achronim over there are saying, the Shach and the Taz both learn that it's just that it's going to be batel b'roiv. In other words, the flavor of the pas is going into this hot dressing, and it's going to be batel because there's more dressing than there is bread. That's one mahalach to say within the Tosfos, and therefore it's not really a din. It doesn't prove that fundamentally there's no b'leos on pas akum. Right, there would be bleels. The absorbed flavor would go into the mochik dressing. However, I'm not worried about it because it's going to be bottle. That's the way in the sefer on Pas Akum that's used. It's like a Mishnah Berurah style sefer. It's called the Chalkas Binyamin. No, Reb Feivel Cohen's son, Rabbi Binyamin Cohen. He's a Rosh Kollel on the Chaim Berlin. So he wrote the sefer Chalkas Binyamin, and he. He basically develops this idea. However, in Rabbi Simon's article, Rabbi Simon, which I think was WhatsApp to all of you at some point, so Rabbi Simon has a different approach. Rabbi Simon says, he quotes from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh not only wrote a sefer on Chumash, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh also wrote a sefer on Yeridaya called the Pre-Torah. And the Pre-Torah says, if you read Tosfos in context, first Tosfos is developing the idea that the Isser Pas never spread. No? And therefore, you could get rid of the Isser Pas. And then afterwards, Tosfos subsequently suggests, you know what, the Isser of Pas, maybe, right, maybe there's no din of Tam. Says the Pre-Toar, those two points are connected. Precisely because the Isser of Pas may not have spread. That indicates that it's not a full-fledged Isser. And the way that I see that the Isser is not completely there is that we don't hold that there's a din of tam on the Isser. In other words, if I assume that the Isser of Pas only extends, remember last time we had like those concentric circles, right? It only extends where the ripples go. But beyond those ripples, it doesn't extend. We could argue that the Isser Pas also never applied to Bleos because the people never accepted it. Leos is azag garnish. There's nothing there. What, just absorbed flavor? People never accepted that iser. Lonis pashet isuro. And because the iser is lonis pashet, that's why they're makel. Right, that's what the pre-tayar is saying. And in context of the Tosfos, I think there might be what to think about. Good? Let's talk. Hello, Rachel.
So why does the Tosfos say she ain't lachmir, but asura li de tarubis? You shouldn't be lachmir and apply the laws of tarubis.
Because since the iser, in other words, since the iser never spread, right, we don't answer. The question, according to this pshat, is like, what's the hemshech of Tosis? When Tosis compares it to Taruvus Demai, right, Taruvus Demai, I don't think it's because the Isser didn't spread. That would be a bit of a kasha on the Arachai Makadosh as a pshat. Okay. Fine. Weiter.
Can I ask you a reminder question on the previous topic, or are we still on Tosis?
I wanted to do one other thing, but I could take a question. Okay, the last thing I want to do very quickly is, our Gemara is assuming that Pas Akum is Asur Mishum Chasnos, no? The Gemara in Lamed Vav Amid Beis says, Pitan Ushmanon is Asur Mishum B'noi Sehen, U'B'noi Sehen Mishum Dover Acher, which really means that ultimately the Isser Pas Akum is because of Avodah Zarah. And this seems to contradict our Gemara that says that the Isser Pas Akum is Asur Alt Chasnos. Is it based on intermarriage? Is it based on Avodah Zarah? L'may nafkamino? I could give you big nafkaminos. If the Isser is based on chasnos, what about people who don't have children? For example, a kummer. A kummer is a priest, no? The Pischei Tshuva discusses that over here. Pischei Tshuva says, what about a priest? The Pischei Tshuva is inclined that maybe you can be mekel. The Avni Nezer in the Tshuva, which I gave you this evening, the Avni Nezer says, what are you talking about? To be Mekel on the Kummer? But if the Isser is outside of Avodah Zarah, the Kummer is much more severe, no? A priest worships Avodah Zarah, right? I hope this does not burst anyone's bubble. That's what they're supposed to do. That's how they get paid the big bucks. So, if it's out Chasnas, maybe it doesn't apply. What about the bread of a Yishmaeli? The bread of a Muslim, right? Muslims don't worship Avodah Zarah, no? So it's interesting, the Shach over here is Mekel. Right? The Shach in Sifkatim Beis gives you some Marim Akaimis and some Kufchav Gimel, some Kufchav Dalar, no? The Shach is Mekel on bread of Muslims. And Avni Nezer and everybody else like jumps up and down, spits wood and nickels and says, my dear Shach, what the heck are you talking about? You can't be Mekel on... Right? Muslims, right? Are you allowed to intermarry with a Muslim? Rahman al-Atslan. Right? Terrible. You can't intermarry with a Muslim. We'll have to discuss the sugya of intermarriage later on. Now, what's interesting to note in the Avni Nezer's presentation is that Avni Nezer argues on this Teferis Lamosha that the Pischei Tshuva quotes. The Pischei Tshuva quotes the Teferis Lamosha, remember, that the bread of a... the bread of a mummer. Let's talk about a mummer. A mummer is a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, no? So a Jew worships Avodah Zarah. Is the bread mutter or asr? So is his daughter mutter?
Yes.
You can marry, right? You can marry the daughter of someone who's an Oved Avodah Zarah.
Unless she's also
an Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay. But the daughter of a mummer should be permitted. The son of a mummer should be permitted. But with Ha'ora, there's the concern of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara Lama Bava Mebeis. So the first Lamosha permits it, no? And the Avni Nezer jumps up and down, and the Avni Nezer develops a tremendous yesod, where he thinks that fundamentally it's usher to marry the child of a mummer or a mumeres. But once the child does tshuva, so then they become mutter again. That's what he develops this idea. That's like a tremendous chiddush, that the child of a mummer has the din of a goy, and you can't marry the child of a mummer, unless there was a practice that people had that when a Jew would, rachman l'tzlan, become a mummer, become an apostate, and then the Jew would do tshuva, the Jew required a geirus afterwards, no? There's a practice in Simon Reish Samaches of Yerideya that you need a geirus again. Because when we paskin that you're an Oved Avodah Zarah now, you're not a Shomer Shabbos. We don't do this anymore, right? People, you know, But there was a practice also. Yeah.
Doesn't the Shach also bring up the idea of Bar Masurim because they're like obey what they're to Shabbos?
Correct. So then there's the other question that Prima Gunna brings up, the Shach brings up, in terms of what about someone who is a Mummer L'Chal Shabbos? Does such a person make Pas Akum? That's a further question. Those who want to rush to make the van, please go. I'm happy to stand and take questions. Like tonight, I'm actually not taking the van back, so I could stand and take questions like another 2 minutes or so. Or we could just wish everyone a good Shabbos.
Yes. What was my question? Oh, the whole idea...